Accession number 31054, Reel 2.
She said, ich weiß nicht, what did you say? Ich weiß nicht, ob es schön war.
It's a worrying aspect of mass hysteria, isn't it? Yes.
That is typical of many people.
Had your family, your parents, thought about immigration at any time?
Not until then.
Really? I believe your father was interested in Zionism, was he not?
He was. But he never actually did anything about it. I remember an old friend of my father's from his student days who was a lawyer in Hamburg coming to visit us in the early days after the Anschluss, and he stayed with us and he told us not to worry, because once the initial phase of enthusiasm is over, it'll all settle down, he said. And that was the general attitude of German Jews. Says life in Hamburg for us Jews is not so bad. So we are not allowed to go to our golf club anymore. Doesn't matter, so we formed the Jewish Golf Club. And that is why, in the end, so many German Jews perished in the Holocaust, because they wouldn't admit that there was anything wrong. They couldn't believe that the Germans, with whom they had lived perfectly amicably for so long, that they would suddenly do anything against them.
Yes, and as you said earlier, the fact that it was much more gradual in Germany, I wonder if that might have been a factor.
Definitely, yes.
Yes, yes.
I mean, in Vienna, it came with full force right away. So, well, my father was not really considering emigrating. My brother and I were very keen, and we tried to discover where we had friends and relations somewhere abroad. And I remember well that we remembered cousins of my father's in America with whom we didn't have any contact at all. But in order to go get a visa to the United States, one needed somebody in America who would give one a guarantee. So we and most Jews in Vienna frantically searched for people who would give us such guarantees. And anything was considered.
Yes, it must have been a very desperate time.
Very desperate.
Yes. How did you hear your parents hear of the Kinder transport? I suppose first of all came Kristallnacht. Am I right in thinking that was quite a watershed?
It was indeed, yes.
Could I ask you also, Mr. Foster, is it referred to as Kristallnacht in Austria? Because I notice in your book you called it the pogrom.
Yes.
Could I ask you about that?
I think that Kristallnacht is a silly term, because it wasn't crystal at all, it was broken glass. Shattered windows. That term Kristallnacht wasn't invented too long after. But it certainly made us aware of what was to come. And the morning after, my father was arrested in the street as he was about to enter his office. And within a couple of hours, he was on his way to Dachau concentration camp. In those days, concentration camps were not yet death camps. If a Jew agreed to leave the country, and if he signed over all his property to a Nazi, he could still get out alive. And my father, I'm happy to say, did. I mean, he had never done much physical work. They set him to work in a stone quarry, carrying stones up and down as he was not used to such heavy work, and because the SS said faster, 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 and stood there with whips, he had a heart attack carrying stones. So they said to him, if you don't sign here on the dotted line that you hand over all your property to this friend of ours, we will see to it that you have another heart attack very soon, and that one would surely be fatal. So he signed. And many Jews who did not sign, they saw to it that they had that they did have the second heart attack very soon. And then they sent, they cremated the bodies, and they sent little boxes with the ashes to the widows. And demanded payment for the postage. I have the original bill that was sent to my mother from the concentration camp in Dachau for the services of a lawyer who drew up the paper where my father signed over his property. So my mother didn't have a good time, and from that moment onwards she did everything she could to get her sons to get out, and she somehow heard about kinder transport.
Were you consulted about that, Mr. Foster, by your mother? Whether to go on the kinder transport?
Yes, but my mother was the sort of woman who only lived for her children. And I realized what a terrible decision it was for her. And that she, and I realized that she was very brave.
Did it all happen quite quickly, you know, the preparations, getting you on the kinder transport and you actually leaving?
Yes. Very quickly.
Did you go with your brother? Did you go together?
No, he was too old for kinder transport. He was 21 at the time, no longer a kind.
What do you remember of that experience? Your father would have been in Dachau,
I imagine. Yes, he was.
Did your mother, was she able to take you to the railway station? And your brother, did they go with you?
Well, as far as the railway station, she could. But in my recollection, which seems to differ with the recollection of that you heard at our two friends who told about their experiences, my recollection is different. Mine is that parents were not allowed on the platform. And I remember the journey. It was a rather crowded compartment. And we tried to settle down there. We were told to try to get some sleep. But the compartment doors were thrown open noisily by men in uniform. SS heroes who were brave enough to make a sport out of frightening children. So they kept coming in every few minutes. And I remember very clearly that I thought, and probably all the others did as well, that next time one of them comes in, is going to stop us traveling. And I wasn't really a I didn't really believe that I had left until we passed the Dutch border, which we there were good ladies of the Dutch Red Cross or some organization who brought us, I remember, hot cocoa. I remember that very clearly. And not until they confirmed to us that we were now in Holland, did I really believe that I had left Nazi Germany.
I would imagine that was a very big relief, wasn't it, for you?
Yes. And they took us to, I don't know where, somewhere in Holland, I think it was in Rotterdam, where there was a school building. Where we could rest. And the next day we travelled on a Dutch train. Which was very beautiful compared to the shabby old Austrian coaches that we came in to Holland. We went for the short trip from Rotterdam to the Hook of Holland. And then on the boat, first time that I'd ever been on a big boat. And first time I'd really seen the sea.
You would have been 15, would you, then?
I was 15, yes.
Yes. Did you look after younger children, being an older boy? Were you given younger ones to keep an eye on?
No, that was an honour that was mainly given to girls.
What was your first impression of Britain, arriving in England?
My first impression of Britain was the docks at Harwich. Which are not very remarkable.
Where were you taken from there?
From Harwich we were taken to Dovercourt camp, which was a Butlin's holiday camp. It was bitterly cold. It was a very cold winter. And Butlin's holiday camp were not meant to be used in winter. There was no form of heating, at least not in the sleeping quarters. There was plenty of hot water in the wash places. So the way to get warm was to go and take a hot bath, which was good. And also, we were given hot water bottles. I'd never seen a hot water bottle before.
First of many strange things, I would imagine, in yes. England.
But the hot water bottles, you fill them with hot water at night. But in the morning, in bed, the hot water bottles were frozen ice.
It must have been very cold in those rooms for that to happen.
It was a very cold winter.
How was it all? What sort of organisation at Dover Court? Was it efficient, you know, apart from the lack of heating? Were you well cared for and organised yes. within, you know, within the parameters of what was happening?
Yes. And they provided plenty of food, which was appreciated, and plenty of entertainment that was not.
Now, what was wrong with the entertainment?
At the time, there was a peculiar English entertainment that was called a concert party. Funny men making unfunny jokes.
Could you understand English? Had you any English language?
Well, when I was thrown out from my school, we were, as an act of grace, permitted to finish that year in another school, but the other school was a different type of school, and I had to join that school where I had started in the school that where I was, where, that I had to leave. We had had Latin from age 11, and they began English age 15. And the school that I was sent to was the other way around. But in order to get a school report for the year, I had to make up 5 years of English that they had had in that school in about 5 weeks. But when you have to, you can do it. That's when I learned English.
So you would have known what these jokes were about, roughly, I suppose.
Well, they didn't teach us jokes in school. School was not meant to be funny at all.
But you would have understood basic language, would you, when you arrived?
Not really. We also, at Dover Court, we also had English lessons. But English lessons were given by nice, very nice, kind, elderly ladies.
Were people generally kind to you, did you find, when you arrived at Dover Court? Was there sort of kindness and
oh, yes.
concern for you?
Oh, yes.
I'm going to stop there, Mr. Foster, because this is the end of Reel 1 and Reel 2 of Mr. Walter Foster. Thank you very much.